It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian, of the Neverwinter Nights podcast in the Realms of Trinity.
Hi, and this is Andy. I'm Andrew 12S on Neverwinter.
Hey, this is Aaron, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And you're listening to the 187th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, the podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the MMO Neverwinter from Cryptic. Tonight we are joined by an absolute great Neverwinter Foundry author, Andy. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy development schedule to be on the show. I mean, could you start off telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got to into Neverwinter development, Foundry, and everything? Like that, how you got you started.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I've been a D&D fan for a long, long, long time. Actually, I first ran across D&D back in the late 70s when it was going hot and strong, man. Yeah, and I love to do DM and write adventures and maps and all that sort of stuff. So pretty soon, though, things happened. I even ran a D&D group for a while. Had them meeting at my home for a couple of years. And eventually, about 2003, I wound up coming across EverQuest. Played that for a while. Also played World of Warcraft up until just recently. But then I just recently, a few months ago, stumbled across the Neverwinter campaign and its Foundry and got really, really interested in that because I could take some of my D&D campaigns and put them into Neverwinter.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, it's great to see that someone with your, absolute long history of D&D, you know, playing, module creation, even pen and paper, all the way back is into Neverwinter like you are. I mean, that's great.
Well, thank you. I think it's great, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. Anyway, this first quest of mine, the one that I've got published right now, it's actually part of a greater campaign, which I took out of my D&D adventures I had written on paper a long time ago, so I dusted it off. But and with the Foundry, I've actually added a little bit to it from what I used to play it. It's called Strictmore Secret. And the first part of this, titled An Urgent Request, the player in the game has been sent to talk to one of the PCs named Billy over in the town that I created called Goonsville. Goonsville is a town situated right in a graveyard there. Wrapping it into the background of the NeverQuest series, they have been through the turmoil of previous events and are just coming out of it. There is this one PC in the game that has been around for a lot longer than people even remember. And Billy has decided he was going to sneak in. He's a kind of a thief. He broke in and unfortunately triggered a curse on himself. And now he's trying to get somebody else to take it over for him. Because that means, because he's no real hot adventurer. And this is a very dangerous quest. So people are going to get pulled into that. Cool. It's kind of a little bit of a love story back of it, too. The poor person they find is becoming undead, and her husband is giving her this belt that keeps her alive, but she should be dead. And so they've got to go get him, and they're not really quite sure what they're getting into. But then they've got to find out where he's at. And so she sends them off on some quests to find out. She knows somebody, a former lover, who has supposedly found out where he's doing that. So they've got to get a map and the direction for him. Unfortunately, he's dead. So it goes on and on.
Wow. So, I mean, you got this, you have this, like, actual Drakemore Secret campaign. I mean, that's like, you got this all planned out ahead of time already, it seems like.
Yeah. I dug it up out of my old quest that I had for D&D, added a little bit to it. It couldn't quite fit couldn't quite fit the maps that I had drawn on paper to what they had, foundry rooms and whatnot. But I think I can I'm coming up with something I think will work real good, even better than what I had before, I think.
Well, yeah, a lot of times, especially for something like as well seasoned as what you've created, after you look back and have time to actually reflect upon what you're doing, I mean, you find like a lot of nooks and crannies that you may not have thought of when you were just doing the core development of it when you're writing it. So
that's right.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
But it's fun to do. I have several other quests when I get this one done. This one right now is going to be in three parts. Especially one of the things I found out, I'm having the worst time of it, is when I drew up campaigns, I like to go hog wild. Originally, this had five levels in it, around 40 rooms apiece. That doesn't include hallways and whatnot. And so I'm going to have to kind of cut it down and trim it down a little bit, but there's a lot of it that I really don't need in there. I can adapt it, but getting it down to one map would be a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think, you know, from what we've talked to with other Foundry authors, I mean, they actually, it seems to me that with the way the ranking system goes on the for Neverwinter module development, is the longer your quest is, a lot of times it's better because that helps you get listed faster. Because it seems, you know, at least the last guy we had talked to, Mr. The Buzzer, he was saying about making something too short, and then it gets harder because of the play time's too short, and they don't, you know, it doesn't get as much visibility.
That's correct. Yeah.
So yeah, hey, if you got that much content, you might as well just go hog wild and get it all done. You know, you'll be on the top of the list in no time with that.
Yeah, I don't have to build up. I kind of have to pare down a bit. So that's not one of my problems, but you know, getting used to it. First, I thought I had a pretty good. I thought it might take a little longer than what it did. And the first person that went through it only took just barely 16 minutes. Ooh, we need 15 minutes at least, you know. But and they told me, hey, this is great, but you need a big boss fight in it. So I put a big boss fight in it, and now it's running. Well, I think the last one about 26 minutes. So it's running 25 minutes to run the quest.
Cool. Before we go on to the next question, I have a question/comment. Is the names of your campaigns have got to be some of the simplest and most intriguing names I've ever seen. How did you come up with those? Because typically it's something like a mystery in the desert, or, you know, a bump in the night, or Drakemore's magical feast of many sorrows, or some weird, you know, combination thereof. And I've never seen ones that are just that succinct and still grab your interest.
Hey, thank you for the comment. I work at that because that's just kind of my nature. I hate the long ones. I really do. I hate a long name. So I try to, I must work over it, I don't know, several dozen times before I'm really satisfied with it. Because I've got to get it down to its, to the just the fewest words possible that I can get. That's just my nature doing things. I don't know, I guess, but that's what I like to do.
Yeah. So I guess speaking of random feedback that you get it from people, both players and R-wise, what type of feedback do you normally get? And is it what you expect, or is it something that you're not quite expecting to hear?
Some of it's not quite what I'm expecting to hear. But the feedback that I do get, I take very seriously because, you know, even if it's negative feedback, you can use that. That means, hey, I get, you know, I got a little something to prove. But so far, I've had four plays on the quest, and I've had three five-star and one four-star rating on it. So I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's great feedback, no question.
And they've usually made a few comments about it, you know. And a couple of them have sent me some PMs, you know, giving me a little bit of advice. And I've looked it over. And so it's helped me make it a little bit better, too.
Oh, that makes sense. Though I did kind of chuckle, though, when you said there was one guy that gave a 4 and everybody else get a 5. I kind of thought, you know, there's always that one guy.
Yeah. There's only one thing he didn't like about it. He gave me, this is interesting, he gave me a rating of 4, but they gave me a max tip, so I thought that was great. But
hey,
but the little, you know, I thought his comment that he gave me, I thought well, okay, you know, it's something about the quest, you know. A lot of the other the rest liked it. He didn't like it overall. They liked it, but there's just that one little part he thought that I ought to think about for my next quest. So I will. But
yeah,
but that's okay. You know, not everybody's going to like what you do 100%. If they are, I think they're maybe. I question those if they like it 100%. But anyway, that's my thinking.
Yep, definitely. Well, what are some of your? I know we talked about a little bit, but what are some of your future plans and projects with this campaign, and maybe even some other stuff moving forward?
Well, with this future project, right now the way I've written it is really I intended to I designed it for group play, not solo. So far, I think it's been mostly solo, but they brought in their companions and things. But it was designed for group play, but I'm thinking about maybe even doing adding a solo level in there too. I've noticed some quests have done that, and so that may be a challenge I may take on. Other quests that I have right now, I'm going to try to pick some of the quests out there that fit a lot more with the PCs and the encounters that they have available in the Foundry there. Some of what I'm doing right now, I'm having a hard time finding exactly what I want as far as quests and that, but I can adjust.
Oh, definitely. Well, obviously, I mean, do what you're already doing. I mean, you're obviously adjusting stuff, and you're always you're extrapolating content from these pieces, but you're not always going to have exactly what you want to do. But the fact that you're able to still realize the things that you you're thinking in your mind's eye as you're developing it is great.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that the game is really very good, or the Foundry is really very good. You know, for what it's the best I've seen so far, and it excites me because you can I can put myself into it and not just go adventuring around in pre-made stuff and whatnot.
Definitely.
I like that part of it. That's actually what attracted you more than anything towards the game.
Yep.
was being able to do the Foundry. In fact, I spend probably most of my time in the Foundry. I've got one character that's a cleric that's only 20 right now, so that tells you about how much time I've been spending. I've been at it since I think June. But
yeah.
I'll go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say. I mean, that one of the things that stands out to me too. I mean, the fact that you still, took the time to actually play a character to level 20 to get the game mechanics down the feel of the game is definitely the right thing to do, especially when you're trying to develop content. I think that's great that you took the time to even do that. I mean, that helps to guide your content development.
Yeah, and just a few days ago, I joined a guild there on the website. Tried to get a little bit of experience with the playing group play in the game. Get a look at it from that angle too. I also joined. This is not in the game. In fact, talked to a few of the guild members there. The Scribes Guild. It's all off the outside guild, outside of the game there. But they get together, and there's a lot of good input there about quest development and whatnot that I'm getting.
Yeah, it's nice that they have that type of community built where you have these guilds being created and being able to join it, and take a part of that to actually gain more out of the game, even what you're doing as a Foundry developer. I think that's even another aspect of the game that I don't think it gets reported on enough, and we haven't really talked a whole lot about, because we've been focused more on right now talking about Foundry developers. But just the fact that there are these guilds, period, being able to be made not only for the gameplay itself, but as Foundry developers, there's even guilds that the Scribes Enclave and other things like that.
Yeah, I think it helps. You can't do it all yourself. There's no way I can figure out everything I need all myself. Somebody else figures something out, and then they pass it along, and they, I can do that.
Yep, so. that's the whole definition of community. That's community development, and it makes a big difference. we find part of the drawback early on for us, being Neverwinter Nights 2 developers, the community at one time was actually pretty limited, and if you had to figure something out, guess what? You had to figure it out. There you had to build a whole new technology that the game never even had to accomplish what you're looking for. That's just the way it was, So, I mean, the fact that you even have such a large community to draw information and tips from, I think that really helps you speed up your development even. It's just like a snowball effect.
It is. It really, if you go in there with the idea, I'm going to do development, blah, 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 blah. Well, I think you're going to get surprised.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have another quest that I have that I've done for D&D. They've got quite a bit of stuff with demons and whatnot. And I had a quest there that called the Crypt of Baalzebul. I think I may do that next.
That sounds pretty cool. Definitely. I like that. Yeah.
And so I think I'll be working on that when I finish this one, but that's way gone. And then there's some others. I had, when I was with D&D, I just loved making quests, getting people to get it to play them. So I was really way into it. Still am, actually. And now I've got grandkids that want me to take them through through these quests.
Yeah, now that's what I call family fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So. Yeah, so that's about all I can think of right now as far as question mark. That's something in the Foundry itself, you know, they're coming along. One of the things I like best about the Foundry, and I think they've even improved it a lot, is they have what they call 3D editing in there. You can actually go in and in your modules and in your maps and whatnot, and you can actually enter these in-game, you know, situate them, move them around, or whatever you want to do with them. And it works out a lot. It works out quite well, I think. There's one part of it I kind of don't like. You get in there and you try to maneuver these things around. You first got to set it so they won't attack you. The setting in there, they've got three different settings that you can use. You can use God mode, where you can just go in and blast them away as you run through it. They also got a mode where they can't attack you. And then they've got the normal mode, where you fight it out to see how it works out. But you have to go in and you have to set it to edit mode first. And before their recent update, they had it separately, and I wish they'd keep that separately, because you could just turn that on and off a lot easier at will, you know, to do things. We have to go in and first set it to edit mode for you, and then exit out of edit mode, where it has to save it and all of that before you can then go in and start moving around like you want to. That's a little funky, I think, but you know. They're working on things. I'm also hoping for more variety of encounters, NPCs and whatnot. There's a lot of things that they don't have into, and I know a lot of people go along with me. If they don't have dragons, it isn't Dungeons and Dragons.
yeah.
But, small issue.
But I'm sure they're working on things. They're not going to get everything in all at once, and this is actually pretty new. So I think when I got into it, it's pretty new, and it still actually is pretty new. So it takes a lot of development for that.
So you mentioned a couple things that you're hoping they change throughout the Foundry functionality. Is there any one specific challenge that you faced in the Foundry that you think, gee, if they just did this different, it would make life easier?
I haven't come up with anything. I just kind of waiting for them to, hoping they'll come up with something. I haven't seen anything right now other than content, you know. Well, there is one thing I think they need that. I don't think some of the things when you do a search, classify, when I want to, sometimes when I want to pull something up and whatnot, if I try to filter it down, filter some stuff out that I don't think it should filter and whatnot, so they've got to work on that. That's kind of a bug. As far as, you know, hey, would this make it do easier, or would this be better? I don't have anything outstanding that I know of right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Some of the challenges and things like that, I mean, we talked about features that you'd like to see added moving forward. Okay, other than, like, dragons. Other than dragons and, you know,
which I will know, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, though. Let's do a Brian and Ben retrospect segment here.
Uh-oh.
Ben's like, uh-oh. But one of the things that, you know, it's the perfect thing that just popped into my head. It's like, if you look at, I think, I would say past Neverwinter Nights 1, like more of Neverwinter Nights 2, it seems like, for some reason, that the dragon models and animations and things like that has always seemed to either A, be missing, or B, lacking. You know, Neverwinter Nights 1 was actually pretty good about it, but like 2 kind of dropped the ball. I mean, they look good, but the animations, their AI, the way they, even if you try to code them differently, it's just, for some reason, it's just lacking. And it's one of those types of things. You'd think that by now, there'd be, you know, dragons running around with the max possible coolness factor to them, you know, with functionality and all kind of other stuff, too. So that's our retrospect moment.
Well, the dragons and that, I can see where that would take a lot of development. They're big, for one thing.
Right.
They're big. Now, if you play it according to the D&D manuals, so they have different ages of dragon, from hatchlings all the way up to the... they have about 7 tiers of dragons all the way up to the ancient dragon.
Yep, exactly.
And as they go up, they get more powers, they get more hit dice, whatnot, and things like that. So if they try to follow those kind of outline things, then that will make it probably even a little bit more of a challenge to develop something like that. But so I can see where that could be. And then, of course, they've got all different types of species, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, if you were going to sit down and actually develop, like, all the different dragons, I mean, you know, obviously there's a couple ways you could approach it. You could approach it by making one model that's tenable, red, you know, green, blue, black, you know, white. You can go through the whole spectrum range and maybe make one up for the chromatics or something like that. But even if you do that, then they all look the same.
Yeah.
So it would be better.
Except for different skin, they would all look the same if they did it that way, too, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you can't, unless you're going to say, you know what, for this particular piece of content, we want to focus on the chromatics, and they'd go and blow out the chromatics, you know?
Yes.
Exactly.
The other problem, too, that I would always argue is, especially in the world of Neverwinter Nights 2, it was sort of the hatchling dragon that had been dropped on its head one too many times. So it's this tiny little dragon that's like, I will run straight at you and attack, and once I get hit twice, I will try and run away, then fall over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be, I agree with you guys, it would be great to see, holy crap, that looks like something that when you think of angry dragon, this is what you think of.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think a lot of it has to come down to stuff like that. I mean, it's hard to believe, you know, but I understand. I mean, when you're talking about technical difficulties and budgets and things like that, I mean, you're right. I mean, being a Dungeons and Dragons game, you know, hopefully sooner or later, that I'm sure it will be. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
They do have in there their NPCs and their encounters the cult of the dragon, so I'm wondering if they're going to follow up with something like that.
So that
kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah, that would be highly ironic, though, if they had a cult of a dragon and there was never any dragons.
Yeah. Right now, the cult of the dragon is like some lizard. You got humanoids in there mixed in with some kobolds and lizard men and things like that.
No, yeah. It could be the fact that I'm totally ignorant to the new Dungeons & Dragons Forgotten Realms background, you know, with the time frame and everything being what it is, 100 years past the 3.5 edition. Maybe there aren't any dragons left, you know, and we're sitting here saying, yeah, they don't get any dragons, but they're wiped out like in Tolkien's world, you know, the only dragon that ever showed up was Smaug. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the one dragon that was a kick-ass dragon ended up being, you know, that it was perfect. So, I mean, you just don't know. I mean, there could be something like that, but I don't think so. I don't think that the dragons got wiped out in the spell plague. I'm pretty sure they didn't, but hey, yeah. What do I know?
And just to calm both sides of nerd rage that I'm sure we will get if we don't point that out, yes, some people argue that Smaug was a fire drake. Others argue he was a dragon. We get it, people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've
just seen that particular can of worms open before, which is why I figured let's address it. So, but yeah, it'd definitely be interesting to see how that plays out. I do agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's another. I think if people, you know, request it, it'll happen. Request it, it'll happen. You know? Yeah. Especially for how reactive that the Cryptic dev team has been to feedback all the way from the beginning. I think that's a a very positive sign, and you know, one that can only bring stuff like this about. You know, period, and the fact that they're continuously developing the game.
Right.
So that means everybody needs to vote for the Avernus Fried Chicken as a new creature.
Yeah. I still vote for the Bull Turkin, but...
Yes.
So anyhow, closing, if there's anything else you'd like to share with the audience about, you know, your module or just your experiences with the Foundry and Neverwinter and anything, basically. We haven't covered.
No, I think we've covered it pretty well. And I don't have any brilliant other ideas to add to this at this point, but I'm sure in time I'll have some more comments about it.
Yep, well, that's good. I mean, keep cranking it out. I mean, I really like what you put out, and I really love the fact that, you know, you're going back to your original Dungeons & Dragons roots, and with all your vast experience, you know, running campaigns as a DM on pen and paper, and the fact that how long you stuck with the product. I mean, you just don't get that just like picking up the Foundry and just start busting stuff out. I mean, having that level of expertise and experience, you know, with Dungeons & Dragons is only a great asset.
Yeah, I mean, also, I still refer back to some of my manuals when I do the work too from time to time. So I still keep abreast of it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that really is. I
I've got manuals from the original Advanced Dungeons and Dragons all the way up through the 4.0 version they have out now. So I can pull from a lot of stuff, and I have a lot of Dragon magazines and whatnot. Yep. I can pull from.
Well, that's great. That's great. You've done more than me on the lore front.
Oh, there is one thing. You know, pretty soon. You know, they have in a Foundry, they have, you can have up to 10 campaigns and 10 quests. They got 10 campaigns and 10 quests. Well, pretty soon I'm going to run out of those. I'm wondering what they're going to do next. I hope they have some scheme available because I got more stuff to go.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. I mean, the more you put out, they're going to have the ability to add as much as, you know, as you want to. I mean, eventually they're going to continue to add on to that as they add certain capacity.
Uh-huh.
It's just hey, when Gmail started, you could only have a couple hundred megs. Now it's like 10 gigabytes. I mean, it's just about, you know, it really just comes down to the maturity of the product. And fast as it's matured already, it's almost unbelievable how much just from June till now. Expansions, Fury of the Feywild, and, you know, just a lot of continual development. I mean, we, especially for those who come from the Neverwinter Nights background, not Neverwinter, but Neverwinter Nights, where, you know, the game after a couple of expansions, you know, they stopped supporting it. I mean, there was no financial model to make it lucrative for the company to continue to develop. So you had the community have to do everything. Well, at least with Neverwinter, I mean, it's being maintained, added continuously, you know, iteratively throughout its existence, which is just mind blowing that you have a product that it's growing that fast.
Right, I agree with that.
Yeah, you don't see that every day, especially with Dungeons & Dragons products. Typically, if you look at historically any electronic version of Dungeons and Dragons are pretty much one and done, or, you know, other Neverwinter Nights, which gave the players the ability to build servers and game, you know, modules like you're doing. But other than that, I mean, there really hasn't been anything more than just a one and done. You play it, get through it, put it on a shelf.
Right.
Yeah. It's a dead piece of plastic on your shelf after that. I mean, you know, having a living and breathing world in a model where people can contribute continuously like that's really where the future is with the product, I think, especially electronically. I mean, pen and paper is a different animal, but, you know, but electronically, you got to have a model where people can get involved, stay involved, and have, you know, incentive to do that. And the last thing I'll say is the fact that the amount of players Neverwinter has, there's just so much, you know, energy that you can't really, you can't ignore. And
that's right. And it really is a win situation for them, too, because look at it this way, other games, you know, between expansions, what may take a year or so for them to get an expansion out. Whereas you've got, while they're expanding, you've got excited players in there helping develop too with the and so they can go to the Foundry quest, and if they if they get bored of playing the other stuff, or, you know, hey, yeah, I like these faster quests. Some of these are pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
So it helps them out, too. Really a win-win situation.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and please don't be a stranger. You know, ping me anytime or give us any updates to any of your future releases. We'd love to have you back on and go over that, and maybe even get you part of a roundtable of Foundry developers at some point.
All right. Well, I appreciate you giving me the time to be on here. Enjoyed being on.
Hey, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. So, like I said, don't be a stranger, and, definitely keep me up to date on your products. And, with that, I'm going to give you the closing line of the show.
Oh, I get to say the closing line.
Yes, you do. You're a special guest.
Hey, thank you. Say, until next time, get in the game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.